on Iowa Politics for Friday the 13th, 2015. This week, Uncle Joe comes to Iowa, run, Warren, run, and what's happened to the nanny state? Hi, I'm James Lynch of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. With me today are Christinia Crippis of the Waterloo Courier. Good morning, Christinia.
Morning, James.
Ed Tibbetts of the Quad City Times. Hello, Ed.
Hello, James.
Todd Dorman of the Gazette. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
And Aaron Murphy of Lee Newspapers in Des Moines. Hello, Aaron.
Morning, James. Good to be here.
Certainly is. You can find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to On Iowa Politics on iTunes and Stitcher. First up this week, Uncle Joe comes to court. Vice President Joe Biden was in Des Moines Thursday to talk up the Obama administration's efforts to rebuild the nation's economy and educate a skilled workforce. Although he didn't say he was running, he did say he'll decide by the end of the summer whether he's running. Biden called for an Obama third term. He said that it makes sense to stick with what's working. Can the vice president, who has run twice in the Iowa caucuses, including 2008 when he captured 0.9% of the caucus vote, be a viable candidate in 2016 when he's 74 years old? Or was the number two spot the last stop on his ticket? A guy who was elected to the Senate in 1972 when most of us on this podcast were not born. I was in high school, but I didn't know Joe Biden in those days. Ed, do you think there's any life left in Biden's presidential ambitions? Is anybody talking about him as a serious candidate?
Well, I think he certainly got a lot of friends in Iowa. But I don't think that really his age would have anything to do with it. But what's really important in this is Biden hasn't really shown anybody that he's interested in being president. In fact, out in Washington, D.C., among the commentariat, you sort of hear chatter that, he's not going to run. And it doesn't seem to me that he's done anything to dissuade people from that opinion. And so, yes, he has a lot of friends in Iowa, I think, and he certainly has, I think, some folks who would like to see him run. But he hasn't shown anybody that he's interested in that. And so in the meantime, I think what you hear are, aside from the idea that Hillary is the prohibitive favorite, the attention gets focused on people like Martin O'Malley and Elizabeth Warren.
Just one person's opinion. I talked to someone who was a leader in the Biden campaign here in 2008, and she said basically what you were saying, Ed, is that he hasn't given her any sign that he's running, and so she's looking at the Clinton campaign, and she hasn't made a decision one way or another, but she said she doesn't see any reason to start cranking up the campaign machine here in Linn County for Joe Biden. You talked about he has a lot of friends here. Go ahead, Ed.
No, I was just going to say, he said yesterday that he wouldn't make a decision among his family until the end of the summer. The end of the summer, if you're going to win in Iowa, obviously you have to have made that decision long before then. So it doesn't seem that the fire is there.
I kind of get the impression maybe that he's just waiting to say he's not going to run, that he doesn't want to say no too early. And he sort of likes whatever attention he's getting by, being included in the also potential candidate, Joe Biden, along with, folks like Martin O'Malley and Elizabeth Warren and Jim Webb. But, yeah, I mean, I covered him in Des Moines yesterday, and other than when he was specifically asked about running, he didn't bring it up. Obviously, this was an official, vice presidential visit, not a political visit, but and I didn't get the impression from his remarks, extended as they were, that he was campaigning.
James, if you don't mind me jumping in, a question occurs to me: is it possible that Joe Biden is only holding out on a final decision on the off chance, whatever one in a million odds that it is, that Hillary Clinton decides not to run, and then the field is cleared because of that move? Is he just kind of keeping that option available in that unlikely scenario?
Well, you know, the kind of the speculation is that Hillary Clinton will make a decision this summer. So by saying, you know, he's not going to make a decision until the end of summer, I guess he is keeping that possibility alive on the very, very off chance that Hillary Clinton says, no, I want to, you know, be a grandmother and not in the White House. So I guess he would still be a viable alternative at that point. Another viable alternative, perhaps, is Elizabeth Warren, the Massachusetts senator, who keeps saying that she's not running, but the folks in MoveOn.org and Democracy for America want us to get fired up for her. And they're opening Warren-run offices in Iowa, including one in Hiawatha, Cedar Rapids suburb, next week. And they released a poll this week showing that Democrats in Iowa and New Hampshire have a great appetite for Warren's brand of progressive politics. Not only do nearly all of them, something like 98% of them agree with her statements on breaking up big banks, regulating and prosecuting Wall Street shysters, lowering the cost of student loans, and building an economy that works for the middle class. But in a head-to-head competition, she came out ahead of Clinton. Now, that's the only poll I've seen that puts her ahead of Hillary Clinton, but we'll take their word for it. Kristinia, is it time for ready for Hillary to throw in the towel in the light of this new poll on Elizabeth Warren?
No, I don't think so. Like you said, it's the only poll we've seen where anyone comes anywhere close to taking down Hillary Clinton as a front runner for Democrats. So I don't think that Clinton should be worried, or the Clinton camp should be worried about this one poll. You know, as we've talked about before, I think there's some legitimate excitement for Elizabeth Warren, who has given no indication that she's looking to run, but there is some legitimate excitement for her, and I think some, you know, this progressive group is just trying to show that there is some of that there. I guess with that said, the other thing I kind of note is Elizabeth Warren seems to be the one candidate outside of Hillary Clinton that there is sort of this drumming up support for. So we haven't seen a lot of polls with Martin O'Malley or Bernie Sanders. And we certainly haven't seen the sort of grassroots from you know, this Move On and Democracy for America saying that these other candidates should do it. So if I'm Jim Webb, I might be reading the poll a little bit differently than if I'm Hillary Clinton.
I'm wondering if Run Warren Run isn't doing Hillary Clinton a favor in a way, in that Clinton keeps sort of waiting and waiting and waiting to make an announcement. If it wasn't for Run Warren Run, nobody would be doing anything. At least this effort is keeping the progressive wing of the party interested, motivated, involved. Otherwise, we would just have this long, dormant winter with nothing happening in Democratic politics. So is this sort of a, if nothing else, a favor to Clinton when she finally does get in?
Well, it sends a pretty clear signal to Hillary Clinton that she'd better listen to what, you know, folks like Elizabeth Warren are saying. I mean, obviously they're trying to show that there's a base of support out there for her ideas and for what she's saying about, you know, the excesses of corporate America and inequality and income and all of those things. And so, yeah, it, you know, tells Hillary Clinton that she can't necessarily run straight to the middle and sort of skip, you know, appealing to progressives. But, you know, I don't think Elizabeth Warren's going to run for president, which is probably one of the things that makes her, I think, makes her so smart. But, you know, and the Warren campaign, I don't blame them for the draft Warren folks. I don't blame them for trying, but they remind me a little bit there's a town in northwest Iowa called Lake City. Has a sign outside of town that says Lake City, everything but a lake. And so I think the Warren campaign is pretty much Warren for president, everything but a candidate. And at this point, I don't think they're going to get one.
Everything but a candidate. There we go. When you have Republicans, I mean, like Jeb Bush and pretty much all the Republicans who are talking about running for president Rick Santorum talking about income inequality, salary stagflation or stagnation. It seems pretty clear that Hillary Clinton is going to have to start talking about some of these issues, more like Elizabeth Warren is speaking about them if she's going to appeal to Democrats. And I have a hunch that given the track record of Iowa Democrats, that there is broad support for Elizabeth Warren's positions, whether people see her as the best candidate. They like her positions. And, I mean, we saw some of that when she was in Iowa City and Des Moines during the campaign, the 2014 campaign. So I don't think she's speaking heresy or, you know, to Democrats. I think they, you know, it's pretty clear they like what she has to say, and perhaps Hillary needs to rework some speeches and whether she's getting paid for them or not. Sound a little more populist and progressive. And speaking of populist, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, what strikes me about Iowa Democrats is they want to talk about the future. And whether it's with Elizabeth Warren or Hillary Clinton or Martin O'Malley, we've had 8 years of President Obama, and I think Democrats have, by and large, in Iowa, liked what they've seen. But they also know that it's time to move on, and they want to have a discussion about the future. And so far, the main person who was said to be the leader of the party going forward hasn't engaged him in that. And so I think a lot of the enthusiasm you see towards Warren, while certainly genuinely aimed at trying to get her to run for president because they like her, a lot of that is also just a cry out for a discussion about the future.
Well, and I think Warren has sort of set a high bar for Clinton as far as generating enthusiasm. I mean, if Hillary comes out flat and doesn't have the sort of message that the Democratic activists are looking for, she's going to run into problems. I'm not saying she can lose. I'm not saying if she runs, she's not going to get the nomination. But, I mean, that was part of her problem in 2008, of course, was that she couldn't match the enthusiasm generated by Barack Obama. This time it wouldn't be from a candidate challenging her, but I still think that's a big challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think Democrats want to be excited about someone. And if Hillary Clinton comes out and is kind of meh, well, yeah, that's a problem.
Looking for excitement. That's what we do here in winter. Speaking of looking for...
Hey, yes, 50 Shades of Grey comes out
yeah,
this weekend,
right.
So.
Speaking of looking for excitement, Iowa legislators are talking about raising the speed limit, legalizing fireworks, reducing the penalties for possession of marijuana, and decriminalizing raw milk. To paraphrase Kevin Costner, is this Iowa? No, it's heaven. Todd, what's going on here?
Oh, big times ahead. I'm going to be speeding down the road, shooting Roman candles, drinking my raw milk. It's going to be something. Well, you know, it's like you have legislative session. You sort of have the start of it, and the big issues are still coming together. The gas tax bill finally came out, and the budget is still way off. And we've got a school funding debate, but those things are predictable enough that folks can just put that on autopilot, do it with their hands tied behind their back. But and in the vacuum, you have stuff like this. You have the speed limit and fireworks. I actually think the fireworks bill might have some traction. I mean, Jeff Danielson is the chair of a real committee and is a fairly well regarded in the Senate, and he wants this to happen. And so we'll see what happens. But I would be surprised if the speed limit gets increased. But one thing about lawmakers is they like to pass bills that have a positive effect on themselves, and they drive a lot. They do a lot of driving, and I think they'd probably appreciate 75. Although I think the critics are kind of right. If you raise it to 75, you're basically raising it to 84.9. And I think a lot of Iowans might be a little wary about heading out under the Interstate 380 speedway. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm also fascinated this it's not decriminalization of marijuana, but lessening the penalty. We're sort of in a period where I think that there's a bipartisan feeling that some of these drug penalties for the nonviolent offenses are a little too tough. And it wouldn't surprise me if this actually got someplace. It would surprise me if it became law, but it wouldn't surprise me if this actually passed a chamber or got some real debate.
It's what really struck me about that is that it came out of the committee 13-1, the lone vote against it was a Democrat former deputy sheriff who said he had some reservations. But to get almost unanimous support in the committee really was surprising. It strikes me as one of those things that might not happen this year, but perhaps next year or in a couple of years, you know, it will clear both chambers. But,
yeah, it'll probably crash into Claude Bodler,
yeah.
I think is probably the problem. But
well,
but that's, you know, that's...
yeah, that, you know, and it'll take some time to convince those people that lowering the penalty for a minor possession of pot isn't going to, you know, be the same as Colorado. And I don't know, you know, if anybody's hearing anything about, you know, speed limits and fireworks and the definition of beer, if these are, you know, talkers around the state or not, certainly they're generating some talk at the Capitol. But, I mean, is this creating any buzz?
Yeah, I think anytime you talk about raising the speed limit, you're going to get people to talk about it. But like Todd, I don't get the sense that people are clamoring for a big increase in the speed limit. One piece of legislation that I did chuckle at was a lawmaker had suggested a bill to increase penalties for people who stay in the left-hand lane. when they should be, as I recall. Now, that clearly is the kind of bill that you could expect from someone who's doing a lot of traveling back and forth from wherever they are to Des Moines.
He's gotten a lot of response to that from all over the nation. It really blew up his Facebook page and inbox. I mean, he's still getting calls from all over, both pro and con.
I share some of his frustration with that. I've been in that left-hand lane waiting for somebody to pull over, but it doesn't strike me that it's the kind of thing you'd want to spend a lot of time on.
No, and I don't think he intends to. He's the chairman of the Transportation Committee, talking about Representative Josh Burns from Osage, and he has assigned it to a subcommittee, but he doesn't seem to think that it's going to go far, but it's certainly generating a lot of talk, which he said, you know, was kind of his hope, is that it would bring some attention to this. And sometimes they're quite often that's...
So he might say he expects that one to get stuck in the slow lane? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no doubt. yeah, it'll get stuck behind a truck, that's for sure. Well, folks, that's it for this edition of On Iowa Politics. Yes, on that note, we'll wrap it up here. I hope it was worth your time. Thanks for listening. If you like your show, tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Fan mail can be sent to oniwapolitics@gmail.com. And you can find us every week on the homepages of the Quad City Times, Sioux City Journal, Muscatine Journal, Mason City Globe Gazette, Waterloo Courier, and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Dream Thieves, an Iowa City alt band, will take us out today. If you know a band or a talented Iowa musician who should be on our show, drop us a line or better, a sound file. And remember to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to iTunes and Stitcher. For Christina, Ed, Todd, Aaron, and our producer, Max, I'm James Lynch. Thanks for listening. You too.